We're zeroing in primarily on chapter 1, 5 through 8. Nor just read it, but I want to read it again. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Verse 6, and let him ask in faith, not wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Just by way of review, in verses 2 through 4, we looked at the last message, patience in testings and trials. And in James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, we learned that we must take the broad picture, the long view when we're facing trials of life, realizing that God's purpose is to mature me, he's to mature you, and we gotta trust him and be patient when we face difficult times, because his plan is for us to be more like him. Whom he did foreknow, those he also predestined to be conformed to the image of Christ. That was the whole point. Today, a little different view of things, asking God for wisdom when we come into trials. James 1:5a, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. As believers, we all face testings. We all face trials. And if you got a good space right now, enjoy it, because you'll face more trials before it's all done. Sometimes those trials are physical. Boy, there's a number of folks in our congregation right now who are facing those physical trials of one sort or another. Sometimes there are moral trials that we face, those temptations in relationship to moral things. Many times, for me, it's the emotional things. Sometimes it's easy to get angry, or it's easy to fret and stew about those things. And then sometimes there are spiritual trials as well. And there is a link between trials that Christians face and the need for godly wisdom. And that's really the fact of the matter. The truth is that when I run into problems, I often worry. Not supposed to. I know better. I preach against it. But I still fall back into that old habit and worry. Sometimes I get upset and I get discouraged. And at times, people even come to the point where they doubt God. That's a dangerous thing. We're told to draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to us. Don't run away from God when you're facing those difficult times. It's counterproductive. You know, the reactions, whether there's worry or upset or discouraged or you doubt God, those reactions really are totally fruitless. And really what happens is when you take one of those, when you worry, you get upset, you get discouraged, or you doubt God, they're only going to make solving the problem more difficult. It's going to compound things if that's the path that you take. James tells us that as believers, here's what we're supposed to do. We are to ask God for wisdom. The believers, James wrote, they had problems with their prayer life. That's what James is writing to them. They had problems with their prayer life. They either didn't pray or they didn't pray properly. And before it's all done, when we get through our study of James, we're going to look at the important passages that relate to prayer. James chapter 4, 1 through 3, and James 5, 13 through 18. Plus this one that we're going to look at today in James 1, 5 through 8. And it tells us that the first thing that we're to do as believers, when we come into trial is we are to pray and ask wisdom. But why? Well, God intends, and we just need to face the fact, God intends that trials will drive the believer to greater dependency upon Him. He shows us that we're inadequate in our own selves. You know, I like to be self-sufficient. And in certain areas we are to be self-sufficient. But when we come into the difficulties of life, the first thing we're supposed to do, He tells us, is we're to ask for His wisdom because we are not sufficient. He wants us and invites us to depend upon Him. It's very interesting to read this portion of verse 5, and we see what is not there. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. What is not there? Well, I find that the help that we need to go through trials is not primarily strength. It's not primarily strength, but wisdom. As I was looking at that, my prayer oftentimes, the first thing is I ask for strength to go through the trial. That's what my norm is, and I was actually shocked as I'm studying this to be able to share it with you. The first thing we're told to do is ask for His wisdom. It isn't that we can't ask for strength, but wisdom is the first thing. And why is that? Well, we need to have wisdom so that we can be receptive to what God is trying to do in our lives through the trial. Now, I wish I would do this more often, but it's prompted me again. An appropriate prayer would be this: God, give me wisdom to understand what You are trying to do so that I can cooperate in this. That's usually not what I pray. That's usually not what I pray. Ah! Get me out of this! Give me strength! But God allows it. He wants us to come to Him. He tells us we need wisdom first. So God, give me wisdom to understand what You are trying to do so that I can cooperate with You. We need wisdom to understand God's promises and what His Word says about our situation and how I can react and what decisions I need to make. A lot of time, God allows us to come into these trials in life because He wants me, He wants you to make some changes in your life. What's the purpose? He wants us to be more like Jesus. We sing the song, "More like Jesus would we be." Well, that's oftentimes what trials are all about. Matthew Henry, he lived from 1662 to 1714. In his commentary, he said this. I found it interesting. Quote, "We should not pray so much for the removal of an affliction as for wisdom to make a right use of it." Yikes! But he's right. And who is there... who is there that does not want wisdom under any great trials or exercise to guide him in his judging of things and in the control or the government of his own spirit and temper and in the management of his affairs? To be wise in trying times, Henry writes, is a special gift of God, and to Him we must seek for it. Let that sink in a little bit. That's powerful when you think about it, isn't it? We should not pray so much for the removal of an affliction as for wisdom to make a right use of it. God's wisdom, I'm thankful, is available to the believer through prayer. If any of you lack wisdom, now here it is, let him ask. Let him ask of God. We are clearly urged to ask God for wisdom. Let him ask of God. Too many times we have not because we what? We ask not. And we ask and receive amiss because we ask, like I often ask, get me out of this! Instead of, Lord, what do you want me to learn through this? Why should we ask for God's wisdom? First, it's because we lack it. We don't have it. I wish I had it automatically programmed in my head. One of my favorites, Dr. Harry Ironside, said this. He is infinite, speaking of God. God is infinite in wisdom. And, now look at this. Ironside says, delights to satisfy our need when we come to him as a child to a father. Dad's just waiting for us to ask. 1 John 5:14. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth it. Boy, I'm thankful. As the song said, he's there all the time. He has the wisdom, and he wants his kids to come and ask. Look at the entirety of verse 5 one more time. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. The next question is, how much wisdom will God give those who ask? Is he stingy? Is God stingy? No, we see the word liberally. It's the Greek word haplos, and it means without reservation. It means bountifully. God will give us bountiful wisdom and insight when we ask him according to his will. Further, verse 5 says, God does not upbraid. What does that mean? It means that he doesn't berate us when we ask. It means that he doesn't rebuke us. He doesn't say, you stupid fool, you should know this already. I've told you this 100 times. I'm thankful God's not like that. I'm thankful God's not like that. I had a algebra teacher. The reason that I didn't go further than algebra 2, I guess I took some geometry, but I had a former sergeant. I called her Sergeant Newton, and I would ask her a question when I didn't get it in algebra. She'd say, I told you this before, and she would tell me exactly the same thing that she told me before. She didn't expand on it. I didn't get it the first time. I didn't get it the second time. And all I wanted to know is I wanted to be able to get a hook so I could get a handle on it, but she made me feel like I was stupid, so I quit asking. I just quit asking. Hey, don't you dare quit asking God. Don't you dare quit asking God. It doesn't matter if you ask him 100 times. He's not going to chew you out for asking because he is omniscient. And I think Tim told us that omniscient means that he knows everything. He knows everything, and he wants to, he takes pleasure in sharing it with his kids. And a lot of times, I don't know about you, but I find myself shooting up flare prayers often because I want to give the right advice. I want to make the right decision, but I'm in a quandary. I don't really know what decision to make. The stupid part of it is just to let yourself fret and be in that quandary, because God does know the answer, and He will open doors of our understanding if we ask Him. And oftentimes I ask Him, Lord, open the door clearly if this is the right decision, and close the door shut tight if this is the wrong decision. I want to know His decision. And I trust. I'm going to take a rabbit trail here, but on the 21st, here's what I'm praying. I'm praying that if this is the man that God wants to be pastor of First Baptist Church for the next 20, 30 years, I'm praying if this is the man God wants to be, that open the door wide and let you know. Because you'll be the ones who will call him or not call him. But I'm also asking for that pastor that God will let him know if he doesn't think this is right for him. And I'm praying that it's the same for you both. That the door's wide open in his life, the door's wide open in the congregation's life, or that the door's tight shut in his life, the door's tight shut in your life. And if he's not the one, then God will make it clear who that is. I hope that you're praying that way too. And be sure that you are praying. The deacons are doing their best, but according to our Constitution, you are the ones who call the preacher. You did that with Linda and I years and years and years ago. And so, boy, it should be on your daily list to pray for God's direction in this realm, because He's not going to chew you out. He will be happy to direct those who are praying. And if we are praying, I have the confidence that He will direct. Amen? So make sure that you're praying. That's all I'm saying. What is the prerequisite to asking God for wisdom? Well, there is an answer to that. And that is found in James chapter 1, 6 through 8. Let's look at it. But let him ask in faith, not wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. And then it says this. A double-minded, a dipsychos, that's the Greek word, double-minded, trying to put your eyes this way, put your eyes that way. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let's consider the first part of the verse. But let him ask in faith, not wavering. Here's the problem. Sometimes we doubt that God is interested in our problem. Sometimes people think, oh, that's too petty to ask for God. It is not. Don't just wait for the big things. I ask for God's wisdom to help me discern what I'm going to accomplish in the day, to give me wisdom to be able to be flexible. God is interested in the little things and the big things. It doesn't just have to be major things that you're interested in. But sometimes we don't want to make the changes that God wants to make in our lives. That's what the double-mindedness is. We're praying, but we really don't know whether we really want to do it or not. Well, that's instability. That's instability. God wants to make changes in our life. He wants to conform us to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. But if we really want to hang on to those secret places, those secret things in our life, and we really aren't sincere in that prayer, that's double-mindedness. And why in the world should he bother when if he reveals his will, we're not going to do it? Sometimes we just don't believe God and wonder, he really can't, I'm in it too deep. He really can't work this problem out. Well, that brings the other O that Tim was talking about, omnipotent. That means all powerful. And the rhetorical question that is asked, I believe, in Jeremiah, is anything too hard for God? And the understood answer is no. No. But sometimes we just don't have faith that God can and will do it. But remember that God works everything according to the counsel of His will and not my will. A lot of times, off the record, it's like, thy kingdom come, my will be done. We don't say it out loud, but sometimes it's that way. We pray and we're crossing our fingers that God's going to do what we want to do. Wow. That's not best. And in the Lord's Prayer, it is, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in what? In heaven. Yeah. So that's sometimes why there is problems in prayer. We really don't want God's will. And the thing of it is you can't coerce God to do your will. And yet, when I say that, sometimes so that we understand just how foolish those questions are, he gives us the desire of our hearts and sends leanness to our souls. I can tell you, we don't need any leanness in our souls, do we? Not at all. So we need to trust in God. You know, I've been there and I've done that. I've wanted my will. I've not trusted God before. And, you know, it's something you know, and I've hammered home. Even when we don't understand situations, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, we need to tie a knot on the rope and hang on to that. Say it if you know it, trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. The Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. There are some steps that I went through in my life I didn't like going through. I didn't like going through the trial of Haiti. But I take the long view and I see what God did in my life. I'm a fundamentalist because of that. I can think of the fire that we went through at First Baptist Church. Some of you were here when there. What a horrible time that was. And yet God strengthened us as a congregation. And look what He has done now. And so Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 is true. And sometimes in the human mind, what God's trying to do in my life doesn't make sense to me. But then I remember, God's ways are higher than my ways. Sometimes I get pretty belligerent about that. You've heard the old phrase, my way or the highway. Well, that's not a good philosophy. It's not a good philosophy at all. We believe He knows what He is doing and will work all things together for good to them that love the Lord and to them that are the called according to His purpose. We need to believe Psalm 37, verse 23 that I just quoted, that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delighteth in His way. We need to believe that our Heavenly Father can supply the wisdom we need. Turn there. It's familiar. If I started quoting it, you would quote it right along with me. But Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19. We just need to get this in our head. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. When you need wisdom, God will supply it if you're willing to follow it. Dr. Harry Ironside again, he said in his commentary, quote, "It is God's pleasure to give wisdom to those who ask in faith. But if we make request in a formal manner without implicit confidence in His readiness to answer, we only dishonor Him, and so there is no response. To ask in faith necessitates knowing that our petition is in accordance with His will. But we may be assured it is always His desire to impart to His people the necessary wisdom that will enable them to pursue a right course through this world." I want to be on the right course and the right path as we go through this world, don't you? And so we need to regularly trust God and ask His wisdom for our day-to-day life. Simply stated, prayer for God's wisdom must be offered with confident trust in the sovereign God without doubting Him. You must trust God's character. You must trust God's promises. You must trust God's purposes. Remember, He just wants us to be more like Jesus. That's what He wants. And for me, He's got work to do. I've been at it a long time, but He ain't done yet. And I'd speculate he's not done with you. I think of the Apostle Paul. He says, not that I've already obtained. Paul wrote most of the New Testament. And he's honest enough to say, there's more God wants to do in me. And I can tell you that for you and for me, I don't care how many years you've been a Christian, there's more that God wants to do in me. There's more that God wants to do in you. He's not finished yet until the day that we're raptured or we take our last breath on this earth. He still wants to mold us and make us according to His will. My mind still goes back every time I think about that. In my basement at 310 East Flint Street in Lake Orion, Michigan, there was a huge power potter's wheel. And there was three big bins of clay. And as I sort through my dad's stuff and my mom's stuff, I got pottery coming out my ears. Some beautiful things. And we're divvying it out to the kids. And there may even end up being some on the table there if you want it. But he would take a blob of this clay, my dad or my mom. But my dad, I'm thinking about, he would take this blob of clay. And at first it wasn't on the wheel. It was kind of out. And he'd put his hand around and he would center it. And I'm thinking of center it being salvation. He would center the clay. There'd be the salvation. And then it's very interesting. He would squeeze it and come up, and then he would put his thumbs in it and stretch it out. And I'm going, wow. But you know, we're the clay on God's potter's wheel. And what he's trying to do is to mold it and to make it so that we can be a vessel unto honor, fit for the Master's use. There's nothing better that you can be in this whole life than being a vessel that is used by God. I got a email this week. You just never know what your life is doing. And this was such an encouragement because he said, I was an agnostic until I came across a video that you were in. And it was one of the ones that's called Tares Among the Wheat. I'm in with a bunch of other people on that video. And he said, what you shared in that video changed my life, and now I'm hungry to do the will of the Lord. He had been an agnostic. Man, there's nothing more encouraging to a preacher than to see that you've had some influence in somebody's life for the better. But that's what he wants for you. Many of you are used already, but he wants to use us more. And he's not done with us. I'm 75. I don't care whether you're 80, 86, 90. He's not done with you. He wants to mold you and make you to be that vessel more fit for his use. Don't vacillate. Remember what Job said as we wrap it up. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. James exhorts believers to ask for God's wisdom when they face the trials in their lives. Ask for His wisdom, believing that He'll give it, and then by all means follow it when He does. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're missing a lot of blessing. I'm so thankful. Sometimes I've presented myself to God as obstinate iron, but you know what He can do? He knows how to heat things up so He can mold you. He does. It's better if we're moldable clay. But we're all sinners. And either Jesus Christ is going to pay for your sins, and He's already paid for them, but you've got to accept the payment. Or if you refuse His payment, you're going to pay for your sins in hell for all of eternity. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed.